This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 105. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what we say it is each week, folks. It is a show where we focus on everything to do with fantasy and sci-fi books, from epic fantasy to urban fantasy, space opera, swords and sorcery, a little bit of romance thrown in there with sci-fi and fantasy themes. We try to bring you the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy book world here on the show. Plus, we add in a few other very special guests along the way from time to time. We're going to kick off this week's episode. Let me tell you what I've been up to. I'm still working hard on book 5 of my Huntress Clan Saga series. Quinn, the main character, is in some deep trouble with wild magic in this story, and it's allowing me to explore some quirky additions to my story world. I'm also getting ready to release book 4 in that series in just a week or so. Huntress Scout is coming out on May 5th. I always get a little antsy with a new book release on the horizon. I really love this one, and I hope you all will too. If you haven't picked up the first 3 books in the series, you should do that. You can go over and check them out on Amazon. They're available in Kindle Unlimited as well. And the first book is called Huntress Initiate. You can find out more about whatever I'm up to by getting over to my reader group, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, over there on Facebook. And that's a great place to check out what I'm doing, as well as talk about fantasy books in general. We talk about all kinds of books over there with each other, sharing our favorite reads, things we're looking forward to with other authors as well. This week's guest is coming up next, and that's Destin DJ Munden, a fantasy and science fiction author living near the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Somewhere in the vague realm of his late 20s or early 30s, he is a person who lives with his brother in a small house in the woods, and he taught himself how to imagine and write down worlds with orcs, swords, and magic. Sometimes mutants and spaceships, too. When he's not writing, he's playing video games with his best buds, rolling horribly on multi-sided dice, eating double his weight in food, and trying out new recipes, collecting samurai memorabilia, and watching as much anime and manga reading as possible. We talk about his Dusk Mountain Blues book and a whole lot more on this episode of the podcast, so check it out. Destin, it is great to have you here on the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, listen, why don't you take a few seconds and introduce yourself, tell us who you are, and maybe a little bit about the types of books you like to read that brought you to become a fantasy sci-fi writer.
All right. Let me introduce myself. My name is Destin J. Munden. I'm the author of the Jargrass Chronicles and the Dust Mountain Blues trilogy. I mostly write science fiction and fantasy, and some of my big influences are Brandon Sanderson, Nicholas Amis, Michael J. Sullivan, and James S. A. Corey.
Very cool. Very cool. So I was got a chance to actually start reading one of your books. Oh gosh, now I just started this morning, Dust Mountain Blues. I gotta say it's got that it's almost like it's got a little flavor of like Firefly. It's like a Western, but on a planet somewhere else, and there's stuff going on, with mutants and the locals fighting the big corporation that's encroaching on them. Right.
Yep.
So where'd you come up with this? What drove you that made this story kind of pop out of you?
I've always liked Westerns, and I also like space opera, so I always thought, why not like put them two together with some of the things that I like, such as like X-Men, Red Dead Redemption, Borderlands, that kind of thing. And I decided to just kind of push all these like ideas together to one like pot of what we got now, like a space opera Western.
No, that's great. And I hear you've like you, a couple of times now you've mentioned games. So gaming's really something that is important to you and helps kind of drive your thoughts about stories and things like that.
Yes, I'm a huge gamer.
Oh, are you really? Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you playing right now?
Oh, I'm playing a lot of Destiny 2 right now and a lot of Animal Crossing.
Well, yeah, Animal Crossing is like the big thing right now. My kids and my family are heavily into Animal Crossing. In fact, somebody, my daughter-in-law just made herself a Witcher cosplay outfit where she could dress up like Siri. So,
oh, man, like... I appreciate that. Like, that's good.
That's right. So, you know, the things you come up with in Animal Crossing, I'm amazed that the, you know, like people who love hardcore, like, space RPGs and stuff like that are playing the heck out of Animal Crossing with little tiny thing. You know, I mean, it's so atypical, right?
It is. It really is. Cause you wouldn't expect like those type of people to have that overlap. But it happens.
It does. It's a lot of fun, though. It's fun to see what they're doing and stuff. I have to say, I love playing video games, but I like it so much that I have to, like, really ration myself. So I only play, like, once or twice a year, but then I do nothing but play.
So, yeah, you have to be careful because it will take up your time.
Oh, yeah. So like, between books, I, like, finish a book. And I, like, pick a game out that, like, way in advance, and I buy it, and it sits there. And I finish the book, and I have a week scheduled where I do nothing for 7 days but play that game. And I did – last time was Jedi Fallen Order. I played the heck out of that game for, like, a week and, you know, finished it and just loved it. The time before that, it was Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's how I play games.
Like, I, like, put, like, a time for I have to ration out my time for my work. I'm like, I have to work or I can't play video games. Because I know, like, if I play video games, I won't be able to stop. Yep. So, get work done. Play video games.
Yeah, that's what I do too. Because I otherwise, what happens to me is because I'm a full time writer, my mind gets stuck in the story of the video game, and so I can't stop thinking about, like, all right, what's going on and what do I have to do next and solve the problem at hand that I'm dealing with or the next quest or whatever, and it takes my creative mind power away from my writing to the point that I can't do both. So I really learned that I have to be finished one story, not yet started on another story, and then I can play the video game story.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. So let's look at Dust Mountain Blues. You know, they got the Caldwell family. You know, they're mm-hmm. this, like, you know, it's funny because I think a lot of us that live out in the country, I live in rural Maryland. We know the Caldwells.
Yeah.
Do you get, I got a sense that you know the Caldwells.
Yeah. Like, it's like a pieces of, like, different families that I kind of, like, interacted with across my life in North Carolina. And it's like, that's, and it kind of came together as the Caldwells. Like, you would, like, I think everyone that, like, been into, like, a rural area has met the Caldwells.
I like I said, I know the Caldwells. I mean, they're like, where I live in Maryland, there's, like, people like that all around me. You know, there's, like, the names of, like, some key families that, you know, they own the junkyard and they also build all the houses. And, you know, it's, you know, and they've got the old family farm over there that the old Caldwells own. And,
yep.
You know, and it's just like, well, what the heck, you know? And then there's always the Caldwell who's, like, the one that's selling, like, the sleazy used car salesman down on the main street in town. And, you know, he's that Caldwell. And yeah.
Exactly. That's kind of how I built it. Like, I wanted to have that, like, rural family that's been around for a long time that everyone knows the name of for this planet.
Yeah, it's great. And then, of course, they're mutants, right? So, yes. Which is a total surprise. When that happened at the beginning, and I'm not giving anything away because it's in the first scene. But, yeah. I mean, when he shifts and, like, I'm like, holy crap!
Because you think it's going to like kind of be like a normal day at first. And I'm like, let me show you that this is not going to be normal. Like, right out the get-go.
It's awesome. It's totally awesome. So question, you know, when you write, do you like plan everything out in advance, or is this something you free flow into? You have an idea and maybe a beginning and an ending in your mind, but you kind of let the middle fill in itself?
Yeah, I'm definitely like a free flower. Like, I rarely have a huge outline plan. I have some key points usually, but I don't have like this huge outline plan. So I usually like kind of like wing it and then fix it up in a second draft.
Yep. I get that. I think it's like a sliding scale. It's not like one or the other. I tend to fall in the direction of the people who wing it, or the people they call them pantsers, you know?
Yeah.
And, I'm as I've moved along and written more books, I've moved a little bit more in the plotting direction just to try to keep things straight in my head, because I've got, you know, different series going on, different characters, and, you know, I gotta, like, can't repeat names and stuff like that. So I have to plan a little bit more, but I don't like it. I still only like give myself like a sentence for each chapter. And then it's like, whatever happens next happens next.
Yeah. That's usually what I do too. Like, as I get to the chapters, I usually fill in, like, okay, this is what I want to happen next, generally. And sometimes, even that, I, like, it doesn't come out like I want it when I get to the chapter. So I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to have to do something else now. But generally, I try to keep the plan, like, loose enough where I can, like, work around it. Because I don't feel like I don't do best when I plan too much into advance. Because I'm going to, like, go off the rails anyway.
No, it's you know, and there's something to be said for that, because I think there's the part of our creativity that we don't know all the things that we know. And you know, only writers can say that. I mean, it's funny, but, you know, people will say, well, how did you ever come up with the thing that this character did? And I'm like, well, I didn't know they were going to do it until they did it. Yeah. And they look at you like you've grown an extra head.
They do. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, you have to be there. Like, you have to be in that situation where you just, your characters just do it. Like, they just do the thing.
And to me,
you can't really explain it.
Like, yeah, and to me, it's I think the truest sense of, you know, what your character does. Because when you've built a character that's real unto themselves, that's mm-hmm. when you just let the character do what the character's going to do, because they wouldn't do anything else, right? And
yep.
you don't plan everything out that they're going to do, but you put them in a situation and then you let them figure out their way out of it.
Yep. And that, like, kind of shows how the character, like, how deep that character is, because they, you know, how well they can perform in a situation that pops up.
Definitely. And it's funny, my wife's used to it now, because I'll come out of my writing cave and I'll be like, oh my goodness, you're never going to believe what happened. So-and-so did this and all hell broke loose. And I hadn't even figured that was going to happen until like later in the book. So now I've got to figure out what's going on next. And she's used to it by now. But the first couple of times I did that, she's like, what do you mean the character did it? And I'm like, they did. It wasn't me.
They did it. Like, I can't explain it.
Like, I had nothing to do with it. Hand
yeah,
to God.
Like, they just did the thing, and now I'm living their life. Like, I can't really explain it. It just...
Yep. And that's why I think that, you know, authors and other creatives, you know, really one of the things that they learn to do is let their creative mind let go. You know, they have to mm-hmm. let go of their control and let the creative mind create. And there are things in there. I've found Easter eggs I left for myself in stories.
I have done that.
Yeah.
Oh, like my editor in Death by the Blues went through and like was like, did you mean to make this a reference for this like song? And I'm like, not intentionally at first. it just kind of happened. Like, there's a lot of, like, song lyrics and, like, and, like, small Easter eggs that I put, and, like, pop culture references that I have in Dust Mountain Blues that I didn't see until I, like, read it over and my editor read it over. And I'm like, oh, I guess I did do that. So, sometimes your, like, creative mind just takes over.
Wow, definitely. So, I wanted to take a quick moment before we wrapped up to just talk a little bit about your other series, the Dargath Chronicles. And the first book in that is called Tavern. I don't know if you're writing both of these series, like, kind of back and forth, or is one shelved for a while you finish the other?
Writing them back and forth. I write one all fantasy, one sci-fi, one fantasy, and then just drop back and forth.
Awesome. Do you have trouble shifting, like, in genres like that? Because I maybe not, because I get a sense from your sci-fi that I've read that there's a lot of fantasy-esque things going on there. So that I think maybe it's not as hard. But I know for me, I have like a dystopian sci-fi side of things going on, and I have urban fantasy, and the two can't cross. Like, urban fantasy heroes have to be like badass, know what they're doing all the time, and dystopian sci-fi series are fumbling around whiners who don't know what they're doing most of the time. And so I made the mistake once of trying to write two series kind of like interleaved between each other. And what happened was I did great on the dystopian sci-fi side because I'd started with that series. But the new urban fantasy character that I was writing in a new series, she was like, I hated her. And I'm like, I was like, she's not badass at all. She's whining her way through the book. And then it took me a while to realize that was the problem, was I couldn't do both. I needed like a palate cleanser or something going on.
You couldn't, like, it was too far of a shift for you to, like, land that character right.
Yeah, definitely.
But, like, I do think, like, generally, though, I have Dust Mountain Blues, like, the sci-fi series allows me to, like, get ready for my own fantasy one, because like fantasy is my main genre, but like they're so dense to write, so I needed another book series to a lighter book series to write in between those. So that's why I started my sci-fi one.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. So I've been looking at your Twitter feed because that's your preferred way of like getting out there on social media. You said It said in here that one of your most recent posts said, I went from being too scared to play D&D to playing it three times a week. I think I have an issue. Would you like to explain how that happened?
My friends took some convincing to get me to play D&D because I was too nervous to role play in front of people. After a few sessions, I started to obsess over it. So
sounds
I'm down in three games. Wow. Throughout the week.
That's awesome. Do you find that playing D&D and role playing in general is a good match for like your creative authorship and your creative work as a fiction writer?
Absolutely. Like, I have gotten a lot, like, better at, like, role-playing my characters in writing now that I've actually role-played characters with my voice and my mannerisms in D&D. Because it just, like, because in D&D, you don't have any plan. Like, you really don't have any plan. Like, your DM will just throw stuff at you. So, like, I've learned to, like, adapt better with my characters in writing, because I can act out in real time. I can write a book.
I think that's true.
Yeah. And it's just so much easier now. Like, I really appreciate my friends getting me into it.
Well, that's awesome. That's really cool. What kind of things do you talk about a lot on besides your D&D gaming and your books and stuff? Do you talk about anything else a lot on Twitter when you're out there interacting with folks?
Oh, I love talking about music. I really love talking about music. I'm huge into cooking and fashion too.
Okay.
But one of my big things is that I love old samurai and western films. So when I see someone talking about it, I can't help but to talk to that person.
You know, it's funny how those two genres cross over so well with each other. It took the 60s and examining some of the great movies coming out of Japan to really realize how much those eras matched up with the old West.
Yeah. it's an interesting crossover that a lot of people don't seem to realize until they look at it and see there's a lot of similarities between the two.
So do you play Red Dead Redemption 2 and the whole series of stuff?
Yes. And that's a big influence on Dust Mountain Blues.
Oh wow, cool. Hey, listen, I just slipped this in here. I just interviewed an author friend of mine, J.R. Frontera. She's got a new book out, Bargain at Brave Bank, which is kind of like a steampunky sci-fi, little bit of sci-fi, but Red Dead Redemption style kind of Western.
Ooh, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, you might want to check it out, because if you like Red Dead Redemption, you'll probably enjoy her book. I enjoyed it immensely.
I'll definitely go check it out.
Yeah, definitely. So where's a good place? I mean, Twitter's a good place to find you. You got these two books out. What's next on your plate for the next book you're writing?
I'm trying to do my next fantasy book, which is the sequel for Tavern, but it follows a new main character that you met in the first book who actually is on the spectrum of autism.
That's awesome. That's pretty cool.
That's something to look forward to.
That is. Now how are you representing that? I mean, in a fantasy story. I mean, because obviously in the fantasy world they don't have the psychologist diagnostic guide, so they don't have autism per se. How do you adapt to describing that kind of a character?
It just took a lot of time with my friend that has autism. They sensitivity read it, and they helped me develop these kind of fantasy terms for autism in the world, because every race has a different way of handling things in my world. For example, the orcs actually does a lot of mental exercises is important to the orcs, so they have a name for autism in their language. But that character's not an orc, so he didn't know that. He hasn't known that it's a completely normal thing in other cultures until this book.
That's really cool.
So it just took a lot of sensitivity reading from my friends with autism. And that book is basically a love letter to them.
That's awesome. It warms my heart that you're writing that and that you're doing it for a friend to help them, help people understand mm-hmm. them and to help them understand themselves too, right?
Yep. It took a lot of research and a lot of talking back and forth, and I think we landed it well. So I can't wait to release that one.
That's cool. Now, do you have a plan for when you think that'll come out?
Later on this year.
Awesome.
Probably right about maybe December or November, December.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, Dustin, it's been fantastic talking with you. I've really enjoyed it. Folks should definitely check out Dusk Mountain Blues and also your book, fantasy book Tavern. Mm-hmm. And look for the next book in the Tavern, Dargath Chronicles series coming out later this year. So they've got three books of yours to have and read and look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for coming on the show, Dustin. I hope that we can keep in touch, and I'd love to see what you got coming up next.
Absolutely. Can't wait to talk again.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the fantasy and sci-fi focus community on Facebook and, of course, over at the website fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment when you're over there on this episode. Let me know what you're thinking about or what you liked about it, and I will get back to you. Also, while you're over there, right below the player at the top of the page for each podcast episode, you'll find links to subscribe to the show so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. We have some great authors already scheduled for you, including our next episode with the amazing J.L. Hendricks. I know you're going to love it, so check that out. That's it. We'll wrap up here at the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook, either on my Facebook author page, Jamie Davis Books, or on my Facebook fan and reader group. That's Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers. And of course, over at my website, you can get a free book if you sign up for my newsletter over there. That's at jamiedavisbooks.com. Whatever you do, though, subscribe. Come back here for the next podcast. And while you're at it, keep your eyes open while you're out there, folks, because there's magic all around you.